Well, we're back on our subject again this evening on avoiding tragedy. We're looking into this area here now for some time. I think we had five teachings on it. Tonight we're going to look at the Indian area, and we're probably pretty familiar over time in looking at these, but they're good things to go back over and look at, especially as I was studying today and looking into these areas. I was thinking about, boy, we're in a day and time that we're living in that, to me, these things are so relevant from the Word is following the Word on these things, because a lot of people aren't. I saw here, I think it was sometime was last week, I think it was, I was reading, just saw some headlines, I was reading a thing because it was talking about one of the studies that's been done, people in America here that is looking at, and they're finalists, it was something like almost two-thirds of people in the United States, they said are living that are just really dealing in fearful lives, or really afraid, people that are afraid. They said, and they estimated it was almost like two-thirds of the people in the United States. Fear is generated from what people think on, but it's what's people hearing and seeing and what they're doing. A lot of people are doing things that bring fear to them, and they're listening to things that bring fear to them. And this is one thing, is why it's so important as Christians we stay close to the Word of God, because you're going to put something in you either to make you afraid or bring peace to you. So, it would be good to do something to bring peace. We're going to look at an area begin tonight. Because of God's creation of man, and we're going to look in an area that is scripture, because in the garden there was, God had two trees in the garden, one of them the man could eat from, the tree of life, and there was the knowledge of good and evil. And dealing with those areas, we're going to look at this, that, the God had provided for man really in the garden was the tree of life was in Eden. And that's what God had given man to eat of. And he had that one tree, said, don't eat of that tree. And Satan wanted man to get to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that wasn't the final thing that he wanted. He wanted man to eat of the knowledge of good and evil and then eat of the tree of life. What people probably don't understand, and you probably, I don't know if you've ever heard it taught, but the fact of, if Satan could have gotten man to eat of the tree of life after he would have eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man would have stayed in the condition, we talked about this before, he would have stayed in spiritual death for eternity. That's where he would have stayed. But it wasn't only that. If Satan could get him, then Satan, for eternity, wouldn't have been judged. And so Satan was using man, and didn't have about, he was just after man. He was after man to eat of that. It was about of his own benefit. But Adam sinned and ate. And in Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 4 says this, and which we want to know about, especially from the standpoint of the tree of life. In Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says this, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, your tongue, said, breaks the spirit. Perverseness in the tongue. One of the things concerning this is we want to look at these two words. First of all, perverseness. What is it? Is there's the tree of life. It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit. Well, perverseness is just, it's a turning away from what's right or good. Well, Adam did that. He turned away from what was right or good. It's corrupt or something improper, incorrect. It's perverseness can be an obstinance in opposing what is right, reasonable, or acceptable. They also use the word wrong-headed. So it's arising from an indicative or stubbornness or obstinance. So perverseness in the tongue. If you would take today, see, we have a lot of that going on. We see in people today. People going against everything. It's one of the things is we're dealing with in America, and it's all through. It's in the church world, rebellion. People have a rebellious mouth. They're rebelling against everything. They're mad about it. They're fighting over everything. Things that ain't even important. I sit down, I listen to both sides of these things, and I think, neither side's right about what they're doing. Neither side is correct. You know, there's one side fighting, and, you know, oh, they're bad over there. They're doing this and that stuff in there. You know, they're fighting back and forth. And people are saying things that they shouldn't be saying. And the bad part, it says, here it says, why perverseness, it says, and it breaks the spirit. And that word, that break means to fracture the spirit, to ruin it. It says specifically, it says affliction, a breach, to bruise, crush, destruction or hurt or vexation of one's spirit. And we need to understand this. The spiritual condition of people, and I don't think we emphasize this enough, but if you can't guard your tongue, you can't grow spiritually. You can't do it. You'll never do it. Because you can't have a perverse tongue and keep your spirit healthy. Your spirit won't be. And because the, you know, there's been so much fighting and things over, like in the areas of faith, you know, people either like the subject of faith, there seems to be a big dividing on it, but people don't understand. Faith is about words. It's about what's said. God's whole kingdom runs off of it. It doesn't run any other way. It's how the thing operates. It operates off the areas of faith. And being able, when people can't watch what they say, when they can't watch it, you know, Charles Capps said, when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he poisoned his tongue. See, his mouth began to follow his flesh. That's what happened. See, he became dead spiritually. He's yielded to his flesh and his mouth becomes. It is not unreasonable to look at the fact how his first son ended up to be a murderer. That didn't happen because of great parenting. That's... People need to understand. I mean, there's four people on the earth, and a quarter of the population dies. You know, it's not doing very well. This is not good in this short period of time. But all this stuff happens because people don't realize things are set in motion. And we're going to look tonight because this is hugely a powerful thing. What we think is important is really not near as important as we think it is how words and stuff that are being said. That's why the devil loves all this so-called communication stuff today. He loves it because he dominates it and rules it. Because people let their flesh control what they're going to say. They're allowing their flesh to dominate. And so what's being said is not good. You know, it's an interesting, because Jesus said, I never say anything the Father don't say. So I'm sure he wouldn't have been online like people. He wouldn't have been so. But people are just communicating things, and what it's a constant thing of people doing stuff, sending stuff to each other that all the time. I mean, I just wonder what people do. I mean, when they can't ever get that thing out of their face. There's a lot of people never. I watch these people walk along the roads down along 422, and they will walk the whole day down holding a phone in front, never looking away from the phone, just walking down the road like this, walking down. And I say, God, they have no fear they're going to get run over, or, you know, so they don't pay any attention to what's going on around them. They just walk with that phone in their face. I always get a kick out. You stop, you watch cars drive by, you sit there, and people driving by, and they have their phone right up here like this. And they're just driving down the road. I mean, it's a constant. And I think, yeah. They got their face in something. They can't stay, or they got to see something. I got to, you know. It's a mental illness. It is. It's mentally ill. People are mentally ill. They're so messed up. They don't even know it or see it. I mean, they think there's some kind of normalcy in their life, and they don't realize how whacked out they are. They're running around and they ain't paying attention. You know, you're driving in a vehicle thousands of pounds down, running, going down the road 50 miles an hour, and you are not looking. Like, I stopped to turn in my place, and down there is a red light. Now, I can see well enough. I look down through, and there are people coming, and they'll have their phone in their face. They pass through the light and pass me and never have looked up one time with their phone. They've traveled that whole distance and never looked up. They got their phone. I don't know. Like, wow. People are insane. They're communicating. We're communicating. And you know, they do all that for something worthless, because the communication didn't usually go, it wouldn't matter if it never happened at all. It wouldn't make any difference. But it's worth dying for. It's worth dying for. I mean, it is. And it's worth killing somebody else for. It's worth killing other people to do it. So, I don't get it. But anyhow, Adam's tongue really set on the road for mankind to have dealing with an unruly evil. That's what the tongue was called. It was an unruly evil. Dealing with our tongue. In fact, we look. The Amplified Bible says about this concerning we're talking about the tree of life. The Amplified Bible translates it and calls it the tree of the knowledge of blessing and calamity. And that's what it was. It was the knowledge of blessing and calamity. When God created Adam and Eve, you know, I've always thought it was interesting because it's talking about the knowledge of it. It is interesting to know. I don't think Eve was that stupid that she didn't understand what was going on. I think Adam and her pretty well understood that the knowledge of calamity. Now the idea here of knowledge is not just an informational knowledge. It's about an awareness and understanding of it. I don't think that they were that stupid that they didn't know what it meant. It seemed they were pretty perverse in language that Adam could name all the animals. So I think he was smart enough. But the whole idea that bad things sounded good to them. So I know this, that I'm sure him and her had a few chats about this. I'm sure that they had said a few things to get their heart set to do this. It didn't just happen overnight. Yeah. The knowledge, I want to know what the knowledge of bad, you're living and everything is good. I want to know about bad stuff. It's the knowledge of good and evil. They want to know it. Oh, you're going to be like God then. Yeah, you're going to be like God. Well, there's a big difference. God's not moved by evil, but they sure were. You know, I see people, and I've met people over my time in my walk in life, people who are set in evil, and they love to know about bad things. You know, you have it all the time. We used to have a neighbor and that stuff, and she was a Christian lady. She even told me to my face, she said she loved gossip. She loved to hear gossip. She loved evil. She loved evil. She's a Christian. She loved to hear gossip. I often thought it was the funniest thing because really it's interesting. You know, she used to always, like her husband's not, he, you know, unless she died of cancer. And I often thought about that with her. She loved evil stuff and it found her. She loved that stuff. And didn't die pretty. And see, people need to know sometimes things happen. See, open the door of the devil to things. And like that. I like to hear gossip and these things. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I have enough trouble in life. I don't need any more. There's too many times I want to say something I shouldn't say. Don't do that to me. But so people, calamity, and calamity is just this. Things that hurt, harm, trouble, whatever. Anything that's bad falls under the category of calamity. So they had an interest in that. That blows my mind. But man, from the beginning, wanted to know some things. So Adam didn't need trouble, but he chose it. That's what he chose. He didn't need trouble, but he chose trouble. Now we look at need to understand concerning man in scriptures, you know, that you know, in Genesis 1 and verses 26 and 27, we used this scripture before, but what we want to look at is the fact that it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So it says, God created man in his own image and in the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. Now that word likeness, the Hebrew word for likeness that is used there, their likeness means is an exact duplication in kind. So God made man an exact duplication in kind. It's just like we'd have offspring and they're human, they're exact same kind. And that's what it was. God created a spirit being. And this spirit being, this man that he created, His spirit. Now understand, our likeness is like spirit. God made, formed a body for man, and he put spirit. The part of him that's like God, like we have, is spirit. And living in the earth, our spirit lives in this container that we're in. And really, our bodies are no more than a container for your spirit. Your spirit and your soul really has to do with your personality and your mind, will, and emotions. And that's how we act out through our bodies, is through our soul. That's how we do. It's through our soul. Now, what we should be doing as Christians, we should be acting out what our inner man is through our body and not acting out through our flesh, just our flesh doing it what it wants to do. So God intended that we act out in that manner. But man is capable of operating in the same level of faith as God is in the earth. Now understand this. We'll probably deal maybe more with that like on Sundays, dealing here with authority. But when God gave man authority, our authority is limited to a certain sphere. It's the earth. You don't have authority on the moon. You don't have authority out in outer space. God never gave that. God gave man authority here on the earth. That's just our authority. He gave man here on the earth. This is our dominion is here. We don't have dominion. Now, see, Jesus said he had all authority in heaven and earth. But he never gave us authority in heaven. He runs that. Our authority is here on the earth. This is where he gave man. So, man can't run it here and he's trying to get out there. He thinks if he gets out there, he'll make it better. Nah, he'll ruin it like he did here. He won't be able to do it. So we need to understand it. God gave us dominion here. So man's dominion is in this earth. Our dominion was given to rule. In fact, if we read it, God said he gave to man dominion, and he said what he was supposed to do with the dominion. He was supposed to subdue the earth. In other words, he was supposed to bring the earth under his control. That's what he was supposed to do. It has not changed. If the earth is out of control, then it's man's fault. It's man's fault that it's out of control. As long as man stays out of control, as long as the devil can get people to keep talking the way they are, things will stay out of control. They'll just stay out of control. There's no way to bring it back in. You know, their ideas of trying to fix things on the earth is by, you know, you could spend every penny that's made in the earth and everything you ever did in the next 500 years and you will not make the planet better. You could do everything you wanted to make the air cleaner and do it. You can't. You can't do it as long as man lives in sin, keeps running his mouth the way that he is. There's only thing that one thing will come, and that's destruction. That's the only thing that can happen. You can't walk around saying anything you want, doing anything you want, living like that and make it work. It can't do it. God always told the children of Israel, you don't live like the land will vomit you out. So, and the Bible says this, that the earth is looking for the redemptions of the Son of Man. That's what it's looking for. You know, the earth is alive to God. And we need to get that in our mind. So man needs to understand his condition. If we as Christians, teaching on Sunday about authority, we need to understand, especially dealing with the areas of authority, if we don't learn to control concerning our mouths and doing things, you can't operate over the areas of authority. James said, you know, you can't get fresh water and salt water from the same fountain. It ain't gonna work. You're not gonna have, if you have the two, well, you got a mixture and it's not going to happen. So we need to know with man, God said in Mark 9:23 that all things are possible to him who believes. And we need to understand about the areas of faith, because if everything is possible, now it's possible, but there's laws and rules of the Spirit that we're going to have to follow, or it would never be possible to us. Even though it is possible, it can't be possible to us to make this stuff operating the way things are going, the way man wants to head through this. It's interesting. If you went to the I like saying the beginning of a year when people do resolutions. I don't know if people do a lot of that anymore because I don't pay too much attention to people, those kind of things. But I remember it used to be, it was a big thing and people would always make a New Year's resolutions. Well, it's number one, New Year's resolutions, 99.9% of people will never get them to work because the first resolution they need to make is they're going to control their mouth. And the reason of that is we wanted to look at, we talked about this some before. Your heart is going to try to produce the words you're putting into it. I don't care what you want to do. Your heart is going to try to bring to pass whatever your mouth is putting into it. No matter how much you want to do certain other things, no matter how much you want that, we need to understand as a Christian, we need to understand that we're not going to be able to follow God any better than what we're putting into our spirits from our mouth. It's not going to work. Spiritual development requires certain things to do it. When the Christian understands and comes to a place to understand that the power that they have is in their mouth and in their heart. Jesus said this. Jesus said, you're going to have what you say. He never said you're going to have what you believe. You can believe anything, but if that ain't what you're saying, it don't matter. You're going to have what you say. And you're going to end up following what you say. That's what you got. And see, we need to understand. That is the foundation of the kingdom of God. And people need to understand that. See, a lot of people have a lot of ideas what they think is important in the kingdom. You can't keep people out of sin who won't keep their mouth out of sin. It's impossible. Impossible. Won't work. Can't keep them out of sin. People who deal with the areas of sin problems, they have a problem. They're feeding their spirit the wrong thing. Their mouth saying the wrong things then. And so they follow the wrong things. They may want to change. And they may desperately want to change. But no change will come. See, it doesn't make any sense to talk a certain way when it looks like everything's going the opposite way. It seems everything's going south and I'm talking, I'm saying words. That, no, it's changing, I'm being blessed. No, it doesn't make any sense. But that's exactly how the system works. That's how it works. We say what God says about it. It's hugely, hugely important that we understand it. In Matthew, in 17 and verse 20, this is, you know, so you've heard this scripture many times. It says, for assuredly I say to you, you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Did you notice it didn't say nothing would be impossible to God? It says nothing will be impossible to you. It's about you. It's about you bringing to pass what you say. It's not God bringing to pass what you say. It's you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, he makes the statements here, and this is something, you know, because teaching has been so terrible in this area. If you have faith as a mustard seed, and I just deplore ever listening to people and ministers teach on mustard seed faith. If you just have a little bit of faith. If a little bit of faith was all right, Jesus was the devil because he rebuked his disciples over little faith. And anywhere in Scripture, you'll find no place in Scripture that talks good about somebody having little faith. He's talking, this thing is about seeds. Why? From the tiniest seed, whether it's mustard, or I don't care if you find a bean off a tree that big and you can plant it, they all identically work the same. I don't care if it's a little word or a big word, it works the same in your heart. I'll tell you, more people have been destroyed on little words than big ones. Most people, if you get a very big word, you don't even know what it means. Little word, it's about seeds. It's about what seeds produce. A seed produces. And see, we need to get that across to ourselves. It's the seed of the word in your heart. Your heart is the ground. We're going to look over at Mark, the 4th chapter. We want to look at this because we're looking at it from this standpoint. People try to take this and try to take this parable and think, well, it's about money and all this kind. No, it's not. It's trying to teach the principle of how the seed, God's seed works in you. Jesus told this. This is a hugely, hugely important parable we'll look at. In Mark the 4th chapter, verse 13, it'll start out, it says, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" Now, it isn't. Now, if the parables, we know this about the parables. The parables were given to teach principles of the kingdom of God. That's what they were all about. Teaching how the laws and rules of the kingdom operate. In other words, God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. In other words, the realm of the spirit. How does it work? How does this kingdom of the spirit work? What makes, see, we have laws that work here. You know, we have laws and that stuff in this area that do from gravity to you name it, all these different laws that cause the physical realm to operate and work. Well, we know this, the spirit realm. The spirit realm doesn't operate. The spirit realm doesn't have time. It doesn't have distance like we do. It doesn't have, see, all this. So we can't relate from that standpoint. So God, Jesus taught the parables to give us illustrations about the laws and rules we need to know to operate in this earth, to take the blessing of the spirit realm and bring it to this realm so we can actually dominate and rule like God wanted us to. That's his purpose. If we're going to have dominion here, you're up against spiritual forces, demons, evil spirits doing things. You need to know how the spiritual laws work dealing with them. You have to understand the kingdom, or it's not going to work. They are going to work because, you know, God put you in charge. My words, I've seen people put in charge of things and things got worse. Did you ever have a boss like that? They made him a boss and things just got worse. It doesn't mean because you get in charge, things are going to, you have to know how things work and how operate to make things work properly. That's important. So we need to know that's what these are about. Jesus tells us here that if you don't know this one, if you don't understand this principle, the rest of them ain't going to work for you. Why? Because this is the foundation of how it works. This is the foundation. If you don't get it, if you don't get this, and the parable of the sower, all they've ever used it for in the spirit field, people is trying to make money and doing everything else. And that's not what it was about. It wasn't what it was about. And the things that were really important, they missed it. He says here, now, here's where we're going to start. He says, the sower sows the word. Now, if you went back over and read the beginning of the chapter, you'd find that he just went down through a thing and told them people left. I think it is in Luke that he told them when the disciples, and it says that the 12 came to him, they asked him about this, and he said, it's for you to know the principles of the kingdom. He said, but to them, he said, I speak in parables so they don't understand. See, people who won't take the time to try to find out. See, Jesus went and gave a parable. People never stopped to even try to figure out what he tried to say about it. They probably thought, what on earth is he talking about then? That's most people. That's most people they are. They have no interest. If you don't explain everything to them immediately or right away and all, that's what they want, but they still don't get it. See, if you want to learn something, the kingdom, you're going to find this is one of the principles. You're going to have to go after it. It don't fall off on you like ripe cherries on a tree. That ain't how it happens. That's not the kingdom of God. Now, the sower sows the word. So in other words, Jesus was talking about, if we went over and heard the parable, he was talking about a guy sowing seeds, planting seeds. Now he says, what do they see? Now, he was talking about words. He's talking about words, seeds. In other words, planting words. This is what it is. Planting words. So, we're supposed to know, in other words, if you don't understand about how words are planted, you're not going to get the other parables. They're not going to work. He said, these are the ones, he said, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown where? In their heart. See, this is about where it is. Where are the seeds sown? Your heart. In other words, your spirit is the ground that words are planted in. Your spirit. Your human spirit is the ground that he was talking about. It isn't some kind of physical dirt. It's your spirit, your human spirit. The part that was made like God is made to operate on putting words in it. Putting words in it. If you put words into your spirit will want to cultivate that word and bring that word to pass. That's what your spirit's going to want to do. Now, we find out some things about this, our spirit. Our spirit, who? What control? He said, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word as sown. In other words, who is responsible for their heart? We are. The word was sown. If Satan come and took it, the person is responsible. They allowed Satan to come and take it out of their heart. They allowed Satan to remove it. He's going to come. See, these were people on the wayside. They come along. These are people whose hearts, their heart's really not in what's going on. I've seen people come in the kingdom and their heart's never really in it. And nothing ever really works for them in the kingdom. Nothing ever really works out. And we need to understand. So it has to do with our hearts. It's in our hand. So it says, these likewise are the ones, verse 16, sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation, persecution rises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now I want you to see if you can start to see a principle going on about getting the word in your heart. The word in your heart doesn't produce anything for a while. It is just like seeds in the regular ground. You put a seed in the regular ground and you put moisture on it. You have a soil. Now that thing will start to pop a little bit. If you pull it, it hardly has a thing underneath of it at all. It hardly has a thing. See, if you put it out and you don't water that thing, you put it outside in the sun, that thing will die out. So these are people who come along. Number one, these are the quick people, you know, I want to quick fix people, you know. I want to hear a message and just get everything changed like that. And I said, lay your hand on me and pray for me and make all this stuff go away and that stuff. I have no root in me concerning the word of God. I ain't protecting my heart with nothing. I'm pretty fleshly. I want to get out here and just do my thing. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't the way it works. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. The kingdom of God, that's why the Bible says, it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. I'm sorry, the crop ain't coming up tomorrow you planted today. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. So in verse 18 it says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. It says, and they are the ones who hear the word. Now they hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing the word. Seeds got in there. It says, and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. The desires for other things enter in and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So in other words, it is, not protecting. See, that's what Jesus talked about. We were supposed to protect our heart. People don't protect their hearts. They let other things in. Other things begin to dominate and rule. The word doesn't become first place to them. There's other things. They see everybody else doing all these different things and all this stuff and they're out here doing it and that's what they want to do. They want to do what everybody else does. You know, they want to follow the path of everybody else, but they want the blessing of the word and it don't work. It does not happen that way. It doesn't work. And they need to know the rest of the parables ain't going to work for them either. They're not going to work. This is the principle that makes everything work. It's called endurance. It's called patience, waiting, staying with something till it produces. You know, I don't know if you remember when, you folks remember Carnegie used to do the things and that stuff and he used to give all these talks about business and doing, you know, his basic whole thing was this. You could go pay, you know, a fortune to go to his, cause it's like some of those places you'd pay $500, $600, $700 way back yonder just to go to his things. But here's the bottom line of what the man taught. And they could have came to me and I told them from the Bible. That's right. With faith and patience, you hear the promise. You want to be as successful in business? You do the right thing to do, and you do it, just keep doing it, and don't change no matter what anybody else does. You just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And eventually it'll work. It'll work for you. It'll start to produce for you. It ain't going to happen overnight. Everybody wants overnight fix. Everybody wants that. That's our society. That's fleshly. That's why the church is full of the world. The world system is, I want gratification immediately. I want things right now. Give it to me immediately, if not sooner. One way or the other. Verse 21 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. See, and this is where everybody gets all excited. You know, I'm going to be the 30, 60, 100-fold person of the word. The word's going to produce for me. It will in time if you keep doing it. I just tell you things. Wanda and I walked for years in some things and saw, really didn't see much of anything. And walked for years and years and years and years. But we just kept doing. So the Bible says, you know, don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap. You know there's a due season? Do you know a farmer plants corn in the spring, and you know he don't go out there in July and expect to harvest it? Mm-hmm. He has no expectation of harvesting corn in July. Although back there yonder, maybe the end of March or in April, he planted it. But he has no expectation at all of going out there and doing it. Christians today, because of false teaching, expect to go and just get it. Oh, I'm believing it, and it's going to happen right now. Yeah, well, we'll see. They think because they heard it and they believe something, the seed ain't even really in their heart good yet. They're still a by-the-wayside Christian. They're still at that spot. You know, now Wanda and I have arrived at a place from a standpoint financially. We've learned how to do some things of bringing money in. We know how to do it. And we've seen do things. But I'll tell you what. We went for a lot of years. We were given a lot more money than we were getting back. We planted a lot more seed than we saw back. But we kept planting because the Bible said. We kept on doing it. We were out there giving. We were out there doing it. Why? Because the Bible said do it. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing. You don't get weary and well doing. You just keep. Because it said in due season, you'll reap. Well, we can bring things to pass a lot faster now than we used to. But I want to just tell anybody that's just starting in this stuff, you ain't going to get the harvesting we do. We have done a lot of years of plant. We have done a lot of things. You're not going to get it in the same way. So you got to get things. It's just like with healing and stuff, working on those things. Everybody wants an instantaneous gratification, and I'm just going to believe, bang, and this just pops into. No, you're working at it, working at it. Going through it and going through it. And just staying after. And see, I'm watching Christians that did. See, this COVID came along, and I watched a lot of, it's from a Christian standpoint. Christians have had, loads of them have had a terrible time through this thing. Spirit-filled people have had terrible times through this. From deaths to you name it, just horrible times they've had going through all this stuff here with COVID and things like that. Wanda was just, she said, we haven't had as much as a sniffle or a cold all during this time of any of this has been going on. We've been running all over the place. We've been going everywhere. We haven't met. But you know what? It didn't happen overnight. We have years of walking through things and learning to stand by faith in things when stuff didn't seem to be working. And we were standing, and we just kept after it, and kept after it, and kept after it, and kept after it. And you know what? If you don't know how to do that, if you can't do those kinds of things, it's almost, forget this stuff. This isn't an easy fix that you just goes away. Because number one, you're working with you. And how much you put into it is going to determine what you get out of it. It's just like a farmer. If he's going to only work 20 acres, he only gets 20 acres of harvest. The guy that's doing the 200 acres, he's going to get more. So in other words, it's what you put into it. It's what you work in and spend your heart and understand the principle. And it's so important. You know, if I had not put into me the word I had concerning healing, I'd be dead today. Heart attack would probably kill me. I'd be dead today. What rose up in me was what I had planted in me. I had years of planting, years of standing, going through stuff, standing, doing some of the craziest things you ever saw when a person was in problem or trouble, and I'd stand, believe God, and trust God, you know. The apparition wouldn't want to have done what I did when, you know, the Wanda call says, Alyssa's throwing up blood. And I, you know, call her back and say, she'll be fine, hang up on her. You better know where your heart's at when you're standing those things. I wouldn't have done that when I was younger, but I had planted enough in me that I knew. And see, you got to come to that. This is where we come to that place is over time. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't beat the payoff. You can't beat the payoff of it. Because when you go on, now all these stuff coming on and people having all kind of trouble, actually, I can't relate to their problems because I haven't none of it. I can't relate to their trouble. Then, boy, you should have been getting the word in you. See, that's why when times are easy, that's when you put the word in you. Right. You build it during those times. And people always wait till the fight comes. Then they're trying to train. Oh, it's a horrible time to train. Terrible time to train. It's hard to train in the middle of the battle. You don't go for target practice when the enemy's coming down after you. You hope you're shooting straight now. you say, excuse me, could you hold that target up for me there, please? I want to zero my weapon in here. I just get this thing fixed and get it checked out here once. But your heart... It is amazing the power that is in your heart. You know, it's like with me when I had the heart attack. What rose up with me? What was in me? And I mean, it rose up with a really fierceness. When I was there and all of a sudden inside of me, it was like a lion rose up. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was my spirit rose up. And I said, devil, you have nothing to do with this. This is between me and my Father. That was my spirit rising up. That wasn't the Holy Spirit in me rising up. That was my spirit. And so your spirit will rise up. I've had numbers of times. You face problems and my spirit will rise up in me.
Yeah.
Because why? What you planted in it.
Yep.
Now you need harvest. You can rely on your spirit. You can rely on your inner man. But if there's nothing in there, is there any fruit in there to rely on? Has there been anything? And people need to know this is what we do. This is just the way it works. You put it in and you put it in, you put it in. And I went through periods of times you wondered if any of it was really working. And if you ain't ever been there, you ain't ever been there. But I've gone through it, wondered, man. And sometimes it seems like you take 10 steps forward and then 42 back. Do you ever go there? Well, did I see this thing? And financially, it seemed like you'd go ahead. And that's why I was like, what on earth happened? I don't know. But you just keep doing. That's part of what it is, that training where you don't stop. You just don't stop. And after a while, you come to the place you won't stop. That's where you want to get to the place, where you arrive at the spot when things get tough, you won't stop. See, now you got it. Now you got it. You come to that place. And see, we need to arrive at that. We have too much today, and they're looking at this thing. There's one thing about it. This puts something in you. It's like when the Lord said He was going to teach me from my military training, teach me about faith and that stuff. And I understood when He started dealing with me with these things. Because, see, in the military, it was about following orders and doing things and getting in battle, doing the right thing over and over again. Didn't have nothing to do with money. It's about staying alive. Some Christians know how to get money, but they don't know how to stay alive.
That's right.
You can't stay alive. And the devil will kill them. Believing for money, and I'm going to tell you what, when it comes to life or death, you'll find out what you think about money.
Yeah. That's right.
And you come to the place, this is where people think about things and stuff, it's coming to where inside of you, what you really are. What are you on the inside? What are you? See, when the time comes to like believing God, knowing what your spirit is really like, what your spirit can really do, do you know? See, you have to know that.
Yeah.
You have to know where your spirit, you have to know about what you've planted in it, what you're putting into it, what you're saying that you're hearing, what you're letting other people say into you that you're accepting. Are you accepting things? You really know if they're true or not. Are you, I like to hear it. See, lots of people like to hear certain things taught. They love to hear certain things said. They like to, but they ain't true. But they love to hear them. There's a lot of stuff that ain't true out here that's being preached and people love it. They love it. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to make you strong. It'll make you weak when the battle comes. You'll be weak. You see, this is one of the things that I've learned in teaching concerning this parable, is looking at this thing, is what is it talking about? So to produce, it's going to take something. We look down the different kinds. You're going to have to be protective of your spirit. You're going to have to be careful about what you put into you. And when you getting something into you, it's not some lackadaisical things. I hear some teaching on healing, and all of a sudden I want to produce healing. Ain't going to work. That ain't how it works. You put it in you and put it in you. Sitting down, looking at teaching over and over and over again. I mean, there's certain things that, just like with me, there's certain things that I wanted to get Ken taught on. There's certain things really spoke to me that he said about some things. And I mean, I've been listening to his stuff over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I want to get those words in my spirit. Number one, I know this. You're going to get revelation by what is put into your spirit. Many people think they're going to get revelation and they don't even have it put in their spirit. You don't need revelation if you ain't going to, you know, you accept the word as being true. And you let it in there and start to grow, you'll probably get some revelation on it. All of a sudden, your spirit will start to reveal to you the fruit of what that seed is. The knowledge that's in there, it ain't money. It's that seed. Whatever that seed of that word that you planted in your spirit, the fruit of it produces is the revelation of what that means and what it's about. And you come to that, now you can use it. Now you can begin to put that to work. That's yours now. See, that's your, the farmer is supposed to be the first to eat of the fruit. That's what Jesus said. See, when that fruit starts, that revelation comes, you get first choice. Now you can use that revelation. See, everybody else made it about money, about getting this and getting that. It's the revelation that the Word gives. And the more you cherish that treasure, revelation, you can get a 30% revelation, you can get a 60, or you can get a 100-fold. You can find what the thing really means. All of it. It's ever how you cherish that seed and how you allow that seed to produce in you. It has nothing to do with being a minister or anybody or anything like that. Anybody that cherishes the Word, God will reveal it to them. If they'll hold that thing and they'll want to know and they treat it, the Word of God, and treat it like it's valuable, I will tell you, God will reveal things to you. You'll know and you'll be able to put those revelations to work in your life and they will work for you. They'll work for you. They'll produce for you. Hallelujah. So, understand that, how that system works. So words are seeds. Always remember that. The words are the seeds in your heart. Your heart, your spirit is the soil that the words grow into. It's no different than, say, like the womb of a woman. You know, you put a plant of seed in there, the seed of man. What does it produce in there? What does that produce? See, if anything in there goes wrong or anything like that, people don't follow, you know, rules. You know, like people today, you know, you find people out here and that stuff. A woman gets pregnant and she's out here doing drugs and drinking and stuff and partying and that stuff and wonders how the seed gets corrupt. How things get, don't understand what happened, you know. See, when people don't care for a seed, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's not any different. It's not any different. Naturally, the farmer didn't care for the seed in the field. He didn't probably bother fertilizing, bother doing anything out there. But Adam and Eve, they heard words that were contrary. They let those words get in their heart. Those words got in their heart. And they let those words produce something in there. Listen to the wrong thing. God gave them dominion over the animals of the earth and they could subdue them. Instead of subduing the animal, they obeyed the ones they had dominion over. Eve let the one she had dominion over dictate to her. That's what she did. I've always said this. She didn't think it was strange a snake could talk to her. She didn't think it was strange an animal would speak to her. See, things were a little bit different back there than they are today. People don't read, people don't pay attention to those things in the Bible. I don't know why. But she didn't think it was strange. But she had the opportunity because, you know, Eve lost something concerning her dominion over it. Because God told her, because she listened to them, said she's going to have pain in childbirth. Pain in childbirth came from Eve. It didn't come from a man. It came from Eve. So ladies, you had a woman do this to you. As a woman did that. Wasn't a guy. It was a woman. And submission to man came because of her listening to the snake. So, there's nobody to blame. Can't blame the guys on that one. Both of those came because she obeyed. Instead of using dominion, but understand, it's no different today. People do the same thing, that what we have dominion over. It's like you take today. Animal life is more important than human life. Yeah. That has dominion over us. Loads of Christians, it's identically the same way. Animal life is so important to them. Human life ain't near as important to them. What we've been, and they want to have dominion. They want to turn around with health and healing. Forget it. Stay at home. It don't matter. You ain't having it. What's dominion about? And so we need to understand the importance of this. People not talking what the Bible says to how to do things. It's not following it. We're putting wrong seeds in our spirit, so it's producing problems instead of answers. Instead of getting wonderful fruit out that blesses humanity, things come out more of a curse than they do a blessing. So God gave Adam and Eve the ability to believe words in their hearts and say them and control the shape of the, concerning this earth. But it seemed to them that that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for them to do that. They weren't happy with just that. But as understanding the powers in this earth, I mean, I just pray that you would take the time to just meditate on this fact. About God's ability, what He gave man in the earth. Our rule and dominion is about words we put in our spirit. You can't rule any other way. I don't care what Jesus Christ did for you through His death, burial, and resurrection. You can live out your life no better than any sinner in the earth. Because our victory determines what we put into our spirit of the words. Our victory here and what will change things and rule things is Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth. How do we bind? How do we loose? Words from our spirit. Words that come out of our spirit. That's how you do it. Words. This is what we do. The power of words. The power of words. It sounds, I don't know why people, you know, take it as such some kind of thing that it seems so weird or so strange. In Matthew 12, in verse 34, the last part of verse 34 and verse 35, but it says this, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What's in the heart in abundance. Understand that. What's in abundance in your heart. That doesn't mean a person couldn't off the top of their head say something that was utter difference. But you follow and listen to a person talk over time, you'll find what's really in them. Yeah. I remember years ago we had a person, let's go back numbers of years ago. It's a person used to go to our church and this guy would always, around the Christians, and he would always talk like he was real spiritual. But I heard him out and stuff already when you get out away from church and that stuff. And I thought, he ain't nothing like he said. That isn't what he is. See, there's some people learn how to control certain things. See, there are people that, they have their Sunday talk, and then they have the 6-day week talk. And I've learned this. He didn't have nothing in his heart but garbage. He was a phony on the outside, but what was in his heart, he'd cuss and carry on and do stuff and things, and he would do all kind of stuff. Got to himself to a point, he never went to church after a while and that stuff, and he died just messing his life. But, you know, you go around, put things in, I knew he was born again, but he didn't put decent things in his heart. He was perverse. That's what his problem was. He was perverse. And caused him a ton of problems. But Jesus said this, verse 35, a good man out of the treasure of his heart or his spirit brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So whatever we expose our heart to, what we're exposing it to is what it produces. What is the what is your treasure? Everybody, what do I treasure? What do I like? What do I really want to do? What do I spend my time putting into me? What do I do? See, I determine that. We determine that kind of thing, of what we're putting into our hearts. There's a lot of things that we do out here in life around. Like, if you go to work every day, you're not, a lot of things you're doing, or maybe you're discussing concerning your job, you might not be putting that into your heart. That's the things that you're doing around. But there's things that you let your heart open to hear. You better be careful what you let your heart open to. This is one of the things you never want to get over, to drugs and a lot of drinking and that kind of stuff. Because your heart, I have never met anybody who's into drugs or into drinking and stuff, don't let their heart open to things they should not. Why? Because see, it'll take over. You need to, one thing, you need to learn to keep your emotions and things and your soul in contact, because your soul is a doorway open to your heart. And when you drink and take drugs, you open your soul to things you would never normally do. That's why they said we got the knuckleheads up here in Harrisburg. Now, we're going to let marijuana in. Let's get something else in that we can just have. Now they can just, hey, smoke marijuana. The boozing ain't enough. Now we got to get the marijuana. We got to get that too. You know, we're going to have it because it relaxes me. That's right. I could become more like the devil. I can become more. I ain't laying devil enough. No, I want to become more like the devil now. I want to be able to sit around because smoking don't hurt me. Smoking marijuana don't hurt me. Don't tell me smoking marijuana don't hurt you. I lived those lives. I lived in those places. And I'm going to tell you what, ain't nothing but a bunch of bums doing it, because that's what people turn into. I mean, you go into Lebanon and see the line of the people that stand there to go into the place. I mean, they're all the people you would just really want in your life. I need my medical marijuana. Oh, Lord. But your treasure, you're going to put into you. But see, you leave yourself open. See, that's why a lot of people, how people get demonic problems. They get into things like that, opening up doors in their life, and then after a while, they have a demon. And demons start to operate in themselves. They get into things that they wouldn't. You'll hardly like go to a prison and ever find people. You don't find a bunch of sobriety of people in the prison, and people who were just living really good, clean lives. And how do those people get so demonic in there? How they get so bad there? Loads of demons. You never go to a prison and don't find loads of demons. There are loads of demons. I tell most Christians, don't go to a prison, because you'll probably end up with one, because you ain't spiritual enough to know how to keep them off of you. Because they are. They're in the places. People don't realize. People go to hospitals and stuff and things. They don't realize people in those hospitals die while they're in there. Those spirits, loads of people have spirits. And that spirit will come out of a person and it's looking for somebody. There's people that go places and end up spirits. We don't normally preach that because it'd scare most people to death half the time. But it's true nonetheless. People wonder all of a sudden in their life why they're messed up. They don't figure out what's going on. What's happened to me? They're out here playing this flaky life.
Yep.
Their life is open to all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things. Believe me, there's spirits everywhere. Kenneth Hagin said, and he was never light to talk very lightly about the things of the spirit, but he made this statement, and I never heard him make any kind of statement, but he said, Christians, he said, if you could see into the spirit realm and the demon activity and what they're doing, he said this, and he was never a man to just throw something like this out. He said, most Christians would literally die of fright if they saw what was going on. He made that statement. He said they would literally die of fright. They saw what was going on. People don't understand around them. We don't have in the church world today. That's why it's so important. Your protection is your heart. I have no fear of demonic activity in my, because of what I put in my heart. I have no fear of it. I don't have any worry about it. And see, that's what we want. We want to come. See, because other than that, people don't know why things happen to them. You walk along in life and people can't figure out what the heck's going on. Well, you can't fix what you don't know what's going on and what happened. People don't know. People come down with illnesses and sicknesses and stuff. They don't know what it is. Doctors can't find out problems. Sometimes they're from demonic sources. You know, sometimes things are just a natural, can be a natural problem in the body. But there's loads of it. It's not. Right now, we have, in America, there's a huge portion of America is dealing, people are dealing with demonic problems. Have messed up their lives. Sickness, all kind of oppression, depressions, all kind of things. It's demonic. You can't get hospitaled enough. It ain't going to take it away. Demons don't care how much they operate. You operate on a person. The demon don't leave. You can't cut a spirit. People are oppressed in their minds. They're oppressed. They're obsessed with things. Their minds are so, right now, people are so obsessed with things. Demons have operated to bring people under obsession. They can't control their minds anymore. They can't control their thinking. They're just running, that's what happens with fear. People start running fear. They're dealing with an obsession problem. Something's driving them. Yep. And it's ugly. But see, we don't deal with it. You say, what you need is a psychiatrist. I'll give you some drugs, and what that drug will do for you, it'll make you, calm you down so you can't move, fed, do some things, and you don't notice that the devil's dominating you now. So you don't notice. See, I feel better. Why? Because I'm high. That's why. I need some medical marijuana. Woo, we'll get further. We'll just have more fun. Yeah, burr. And the devil's saying, sure, go after it. Have another one. Praise God. Hallelujah. So protect your heart, especially these days, protect your heart. There's all kind of demonic activity going on, but it doesn't have to run the church. It doesn't have to dominate the Christian. God's told us what to do to keep ourselves safe. It's what you put in your heart. Make sure you put the right things in your heart. Keep yourself safe. Keep yourself, because there's all kind of things out here that are happening, and you want to maintain your joy. You want to maintain your peace. That's what you want to do. And we're around people. We need to tell them the truth. They can't keep doing the things they are. You can lay your hands on them and pray on them for until they rub all the hair off their head. It ain't going to help them if they keep doing the stuff they're doing.
That's right.
We need to quit lying to them. Yeah, God will fix that for you. Now, if you keep doing what you're doing, they ain't going to fix that for you. You need to change life. They say, I don't know what to change. You need to get born again. If you don't get born again, you ain't got the start to a changed life. So forget it. Praying for you ain't going to make it work. Because everybody today wants the Harry Potter fix, that just wave the wand and we're all going to be okay. I'm sorry. It took us a lot of waving, a lot of wands to want it got fixed till we got ourselves. Hallelujah. You don't arrive where you are. You know, look at yourselves in years of what you walk and learning and know.
Yep.
And so you might be at the place now where you just know what you know and you can stand and walk in there, but you weren't there when you started. That's where you, and you know what? There's many people will want what you have. Oh, they want what you, but they it ain't going to happen that way. Nowhere in life do we have the things. Everything works just like a child growing up. They don't become adult. They don't come out of the womb and 2 weeks later, hey, they're down there working and got a job fixing cars down here and just placing it. It'd be nice if you could do that. But they don't do that. It's a growing up process. And spiritual growth, same way. It's a growing up process and it takes time. And that's what our society is not geared toward that. It's not geared toward time. And has a hard time with it. Older generations didn't have problems with that. We knew it. That was the way we were. Like I was brought up, that's just the way it was. But today it's not. Everybody wants a quick fix. That's why drugs and things are so popular. That's why the doctor is so popular. Give me something, make me feel good. Give me this, that, do this, do that. It's all, let's get fixed. Let's get everything fixed up quick. And that's where we are in our society. And we have to know that it ain't real life. It ain't going to work. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what. You put the right things in your spirit will uphold you, and I don't care how bad things get. Hallelujah. You will be like the person who built their house in a rock, and when the storm comes, it ain't even going to shake you. You won't even be shaken. You won't even be moved by it. It'll be carrying on out there, and you'll just still be standing and smiling. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, the others won't be doing that. And prayer won't fix it. praying does not take the place of something else that's supposed to be done. Prayer has its place. But we want to fix everything. I just want to pray about it and it'll go away. Could you just not train your children and just pray for them all the time and they become a really good kid? Now, if you don't get the whipping chair out once in a while, you pray all you want. Now, that is to say it's bad prayer for your kid. That'd be good. But that's not the only thing. Hallelujah. We'll close with prayer. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for the wisdom of your word. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you for insight and understanding, Lord God, especially these days and times that we live in. Father God, you called us to a place of victory in Christ Jesus. Father God, we're marching in the direction of victory. We're not going to turn from it, from the right or to the left. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have wondrously helped us in putting things in our spirits over time. And over time, we have continued to march to the drum of the word. We've continually put it into us. I want to thank you, Lord God, that there's seeds that are in there that have developed. Some of those seeds have already grown. There's fruit there for us to walk in, to enjoy. There's other things that are growing up in us, hallelujah, to produce more fruit. And so we thank you. We're just going to keep following the word. We're just going to keep standing, Lord God, on what the word says, listening to it, putting it in our hearts. And Father, we're going to be the 30, 60, 100 fold, hallelujah, people. The revelation of your word is going to come to us quickly, understanding, hallelujah. And Father God, under pressure, when we're in squeezed, I want to thank you. The glory that's in us will come out of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.